schools, I should say, in our region that don't have teams at all. And then another two schools that only have five girls on their team.
Skagway State champions are still looking for someone to play basketball with after beating the Glacier Bears girls twice in a row. And a recall could affect your new snow machine. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. The ultimate home team basketball matchup this week ended with the Skagway Panthers girls taking two wins over their neighbors, the Haynes Glacier Bears girls.
I feel pretty good about those games. Those were good wins, especially because it wasn't like we were playing a weak team. They're a strong team. They have strong girls. They have athletic girls.
Panthers coach Lara Lebeski goes on to say the victories were even more notable because her team, which traveled to Haynes for the tournament, has hardly had any game time this year.
Well, game time is real important because it's different. There's more pressure. You have the 8-minute quarters. You have refs out there that are somewhat impartial and sometimes somewhat not. And you have to adjust your game according to how the refs are calling it. And then, different things happen too. You know, maybe one day someone's sick and so someone else has to be ready to step in, and you just can't get all those things lined up in just a practice.
As head coach, Lebeski wants to find more playing time for her girls. They beat all the other 2A teams in the state last year, taking the first state basketball title ever for their school. But their biggest problem this year has nothing to do with fouls or injuries. It's low student enrollment in Southeast Alaska's small schools.
Well, as I think a lot of the small communities around here are in the 2A. I don't know how 3A and 4A are doing, but, they're just losing population, so the enrollment at all the schools is down, so as a result, they don't have many girls in the high school at all, and so then to try and get a basketball team together, there's two schools, I should say, in our region that don't have teams at all, and then another two schools that only have five girls on their team, so they're pretty weak.
The problem isn't news to Skagway, which itself has experienced steadily dipping enrollment in recent years, and coaches agree the solution really needs to come from beyond the sports departments.
We have the same problem here in Skagway. We have, a lot of people that are here in the summertime, and they leave in the wintertime, and they take their kids with them. As a result, we have a strong economy here, but, in the wintertime, we don't have the population that supports, multiple sports at a school, or multiple anything, really. I mean, there's just, our enrollment's plummeted over here.
Alaska's high school athletes spend a lot of time on the road during their season, often traveling for days over hundreds of miles, missing classroom time to play their sports. The Panthers and Glacier Bears, however, live close together on the northern end of the Lynn Canal. The two teams don't encounter each other in conference games, being in separate divisions, but with opposition hard to find this year, it just made sense to put the neighbors up against each other. They're barely more than 10 water miles apart.
It felt pretty good. It was really nice to finally get over there and play some games, especially because they're pretty talented. So it is good competition for us to get over there and, have to put everything together, which it's hard to simulate that in practice every day.
Lebeski says the first game was a rough start for the Panthers, but they took over the Glacier Bears' 9-point lead at halftime to win 55-52 on Monday night. The next afternoon, they took the lead by halftime and won 49-38. Jesse Ellis and Kaylee O'Daniel were high scorers for the Panthers and Abby Jones for the Glacier Bears.
We didn't play very well in the first game. We played okay. The first half was pretty rough. Coming over there, getting into the Haynes school, and they settled down in the second half, and they did some things really well, and as a result, we ended up winning the game, even though at one point we were down by 12. And so there's something to be said for that. I think that was that was pretty impressive. And then in the second game, we just came out with everyone was on fire, and they just had it all together the whole game.
The two wins leave the Panthers technically undefeated in the state, since they beat Klawock twice in their only other Alaska games. The two teams will face off again in the regional tournament.
And they're a pretty good team. They're pretty young. I think by the time regionals comes around, they're going to be tougher than what everyone's seen throughout the season, because they'll have more experience and they'll just have their game a little bit better together by the time, the tournament rolls around.
In the meantime, Skagway is getting creative when it comes to finding competition. They'll be traveling about 1,000 miles away to Southwest Alaska's Chivac to play in a tournament there for the first time ever. And they hope to see the Glacier Bears girls make the commute to Skagway later in the season.
We're hoping to get Haynes over here for a couple of games in February sometime, and that'll help out, and then possibly play another Whitehorse team or something. They'll come down or we'll go up there. So, you know, we're working on it. We're not giving up.
Last weekend, Haynes Swimmers hosted out-of-town athletes in their biggest home event of the season. The Winter Games has been the Dolphins' best opportunity to compete in the water they practice in for about a decade. And head coach Steve Vick says the team was successful in bringing in the medals, but also in the example they set for fellow athletes. About 85 swimmers filled the lanes at the Haynes pool over the weekend, with 34 of them calling Haynes home.
It is difficult to kind of narrow down. Everyone has a highlight. So it's hard to kind of narrow down the specific highlights of just a few swimmers.
But we'll do our best. Madeline Andreessen dropped 17 seconds in her 100-yard freestyle and took first in her class. Sayel Galindo George swam his first big meet, making 100% best times and qualifying for another meet in 5 out of 7 of his events. First-year Dolphin Lydia Haxton is already on the A squad and qualified for Southeast Champs in 2 events. 7-year-old Brennan Palmieri qualified in all 7 of his events, including 2 new events. And his brother Keegan swam the feared 200 IM for the first time, qualifying for a top swim meet in his age group. James Willard dropped nearly 20 seconds in his 100 freestyle. Jasper Posey got all personal best times.
Yeah, you know, I was happy with the amount of kids that swam from our team. We had 34 kids swim, which is more than we had last year, enter the meet. So I'm really happy with the amount of kids who are participating and just enjoying the sport. It was great to see them cheering for each other and, you know, having that team spirit.
But it was a race that wasn't won by a Dolphin that stood out for coaches. 11-year-old Tulsi Zanhau had just finished her 50 freestyle, dropping 6 seconds off her best time, says Coach Vick.
And when she had finished, the timing clock malfunctioned, so no one's time came up. And then later, within seconds, it all appeared, and the clock was a little bit wrong. And she had appeared as first in the heat that she won, and she came up to me with the ribbon, and she goes, "The clock is wrong. I didn't get first place. This isn't mine." And, like, handing me back the heat ribbon. And I thought that was really neat, so I took it and I gave it to their coach. And within 2 minutes after that, Tulsi came back to me with the swimmer that had beat her and asked me, "Hey, do you have that ribbon? This is the girl who it belongs to." And I was just blown away. I thought that was great sportsmanship, great character. It's one of the things that just, yeah, it kind of made my meet for me to have a swimmer do that, and just, like, her sportsmanship and, you know, her honesty. And what mattered most for her was that, you know, she did a good time and that it was fair. And I thought that was really neat.
As with other home events, Vic adds, volunteers from around Southeast made the meet happen. Timers, officials, concession workers, store attendants, drivers, hosts, and setup and takedown crew, to name a few jobs.
I always enjoy swim meets, and I enjoy them most when they're in our own pool. It's great to see the community support and all the people come out and help us. That's a really good thing. Cause it does. It takes a whole lot of people to run a swim meet because there's just so much involved in it. People put in a lot of hard work to make this happen, and the team is really appreciative of that.
The Dolphins are in the middle of the Medal Meet Series, which is a set of time trials for Dolphins and Haynes. It's the first year for the free program, which gives kids a chance to swim against other kids at their own level.
The first time we ran this meet was last month in January, and it was great. Nearly every kid on the team got a medal, or at least a ribbon, and they'll have 2 more opportunities to do it again because we're going to run the meet 2 more times. It's a series of 3. The next one's coming in February, and the kids are really excited. I think a lot of the kids ended up wearing their medals to school the next day.
Age group champs, the Alaska Open, and Junior Olympics are all on the horizon. But up next is the swimathon, where kids will be taking pledges to support the team leading up to the big swim in March.
When the kids all hop in the water, swim as many lengths as they can in 2 hours, and they're trying to raise funds for the swim team. That starts next week, and the kids have a month to get as many pledges as possible. So if you see a little dolphin running around the town, please support them.
If you bought a new snow machine in the last 7 months, you could be the owner of one of the many thousands of machines that are being voluntarily recalled by Arctic Cat. The The company says it's recalling 16,500 snowmobiles because of a possible loss of control. Specifically, it affects a range of 2010 models sold at Arctic Cat dealerships from June 2009 through now. Model names are at the Arctic Cat website. The company, along with the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, says riders should stop using those snow machines and contact their dealer for a free repair. Arctic Cat says the front lower suspension arm can crack during use, which could lead to loss of control. 13 reports of that type of cracking have been reported, but no injuries or deaths as a result. Questions can also be directed to Arctic Cat at 1-800-279-6851 or to their website. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. The KHNS Newsroom is always open to your comments. You can reach the news department by emailing news@khns.org, or you can call 766-2020 from Haines and Klukwan, or 983-2853 from Skagway. Thanks for your interest.